A little bit about me. My sun sign is Scorpio and my moon is in Sagittarius. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I'm told my laughter is contagious, so we're going to laugh and have fun here. But that doesn't mean we won't talk about important and even complex things. I'm a New Orleans girl and we love the joy. People call New Orleans a party town, but it's really about spreading the joy. That's why I live here, and that's why you're listening to The Jody Parmley Show. Hey, this is Jody Parmley. Thank you for tuning in to The Jody Parmley Show. We are going to have another great show today. Listen, if you're on Twitter, follow me on Twitter at Jody Parmley, and like my Fifi page on Facebook at Fifi the Book. I would love to connect with you on social media. Right at the top of the show, I'm going to give a shout out to Bridge to Justice Foundation. Bridge to Justice is having a second annual golf classic on Money Hill Golf and Country Club Monday, October 26th. And this is going to be a great fundraiser for a wonderful cause. It is also a costume contest. We're going to be having a lot of fun with that since it's close to Halloween. And if you want to get more information, they do have a website, bridge2justice.com. And on there, you can actually go to event and pull up a form if you would like to register for it. So I want to just open with that first. And today we are going to talk about a chapter in my book, Fifi, that I really have not, you know, said very much about. And it's a pretty important chapter because I will tell you, it has a huge effect on our local community, but it's also something that's not unique. It's something that happens across the nation, across the globe. And the name of the chapter in my book is Six Flags Over Jesus Church. And Six Flags Over Jesus Church is located on the North Shore. It is a what they call a mega church, and it happens to be run by members of my family. So I have a lot of information on, you know, Six Flags Over Jesus. And again, it is an entire chapter in my book, but I wanted to sort of elaborate more on what a church of this caliber can do to a community, which is something we're going to talk about that's quite serious. But also just on the surface, you know, some of the things that most people may not be aware of that happens in a cult situation. I wanted to go through some signs of a cult, which is something you can Google actually very easily. You know, there's about 14 characteristics of a cult. And, you know, again, it's something that unless you've been a part of it or been around it or know some people that are, it really sucks you in very slowly. It's quite seductive. And so just off the top, some of the signs that I think are very important is there is what they call submission, just a complete and almost unquestioned trust in the leadership. You know, and that's very scary because if you do question the leadership, if you're somebody that does have a lot of questions or perhaps you would challenge somebody's premise, there is always the possibility of being shunned, which is what I was. I was shunned and I was ostracized because I questioned the authority. And so people who come to a church community, you know, they're looking for that support a lot of times. A lot of times people are in desperate circumstances. They perhaps have a very serious illness and perhaps like cancer. Maybe they have a child who is sick or they're in a financial difficulty that they're looking for help and some answers to. So that is a whole nother part of how a cult can operate, how a cult can control people and give them a sense that, you know, they're going to help them or that they're safe there. So again, what ends up happening, and for me, what ended up happening when people would find out that this was my family, and this was outside people, they would come up to me and say, oh yeah, you know, I went to that church before, and you know what? It was sort of like a self-improvement seminar. like, I really didn't hear a lot about the Bible. It was really weird. And then they wanted me to write a check to them. And this is the kind of feedback I hear all the time from people I've never met before. So it's not just my experience that I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about other people's experience as well. And the other thing that I think is incredibly important, this is another characteristic of a cult, is cognitive dissonance. It is the avoidance of critical thinking. And it is the avoidance of, or the denial of, facts. So this is incredibly important because I see a lot of, you know, really smart people get involved in these cults, and there's just sort of this suspended disbelief or this sort of level of denial, and there's not a lot of critical thinking. And again, if you do question anything in a cult environment, you're going to be shunned and you possibly will be ostracized. So that's always a risk. And I think it's a very real feeling, just a sense that people have, if not, in fact, a real experience when they do question authority. So again, there's a lot of intelligent people who are involved in these kinds of situations. We're going to take a break here, and I'm going to be right back. Stay with us.
All Nation Radio family, keep listening all summer long for your chance to win CDs from your favorite artists and Jesus Cash. Did I say that?
Well, now, man, I'm trying to get on. I need to win this money.
Listening for your chance to win big on your official summer soundtrack radio station.
All Nations Radio, going out to all the world.
For those who are just joining us, we are having a great discussion here today, taken from my book, Fifi. Fifi is available on Amazon.com and also Barnes & Noble. You can put my name, Jody Parmley, in the search box, and it will pull up for you quickly there. If you like the book, we'd love for you to leave a great review. It's going to help us keep the great message of Fifi going. So again, I want to do a shout out to Bridge to Justice Foundation. This is a nonprofit organization, and Bridge to Justice is actually a mediation outreach for families going through divorce. Sadly, children involved in the divorce process are often used as pawns. We believe justice lives in the process. Our primary goal is to protect children by providing professionals from several disciplines well-versed in child advocacy who give them support. And again, the website for Bridge to Justice is bridge2justice.com. So going back to what we were talking about today, Six Flags Over Jesus Church, you know, I've got to tell you, there's some things on the surface that you just have to question. And some of these things you may not know. Being a family member, I know these things. But I can tell you that my brother-in-law, the head pastor, likes to use a fake Texas accent, if you can believe that. This is a Metairie boy. He was raised in the heart of Metairie, right off of West Esplanade, and he's about as Texan as Girard Playground. So for all our local listeners, who are very familiar with Metairie, you know where I'm talking about. And, you know, as far as I know, he just had, you know, some time, a few months in Texas seminary, but wasn't like he was raised in Texas. Really not sure about what the fake Texas accent. My family's from Texas. My dad always had a Texas accent. I lived with that man for 18 years, and I never talked like a Texan. So I don't really know what is this all about, you know. Somebody told me that, you know, he thinks he's Joel Osteen or he wants to be that. I don't know. I really don't know what that's about. But you got to know, if you're going to Six Flags Over Jesus Church over here on the North Shore, his accent is fake, okay? He's not from Texas. And the other thing I got to tell you, too, is, and I'm seeing this, like, all over social media, you know, these baptisms that are happening in public pools. You know, I don't know, guys. I mean, I know I was raised Catholic, and, you know, we do the infant baptism thing. My kids were all baptized. Of course, once my brother-in-law got a hold of my two youngest, you know, after the divorce, they did the public swimming pool thing, but they were all baptized you know, when they were infants, and they were all in Catholic schools. So, you know, knowing about Jesus and understanding Christianity was not a new thing for my kids. But again, when you get involved in these kinds of, you know, cult-like churches, you know, you just do what everybody else is doing without even thinking. And yeah, I know we all go swimming in public pools, but you know, and I know that if kids are in that pool all day, every day, there's urine in that pool. I mean, this is not even a clean situation. And, you know, is it just me, but is baptism supposed to be something sacred? Is this supposed to have, you know, just sort of a holiness, a reverence to it? I mean, I don't understand. And, you know, I don't want to get baptized in a toilet. That's what it seems like to me. I always think twice when I'm going into a public pool, and I know there's a lot of chlorine in there. What do you clean your bathroom with? I clean mine with chlorine bleach. That's why there's so much chlorine in the pool. So, I mean, this is just another thing that, you know, I'm not understanding. And again, if you're not Catholic and you don't believe in the holy water thing, you know, when a priest blesses water, that's fine. You can have your disbelief. But I can promise you my holy water doesn't have urine in it, okay? And when my kids were baptized as infants, that water sprinkled over their head did not have urine in it. So it's just really bizarre for me. I don't understand, you know, how this becomes acceptable. What kind of denial are we really in when we're doing these kinds of things? So, again, I've got just some interesting stories. You know, when you're in this kind of a situation, it's like you're in a bubble. And I know what you're saying. You're probably thinking, well, you know, Jody, it's okay that your kids, I mean, it's great that they're not on drugs and they're not pregnant and they're not, you know, they're not abusing alcohol. And that's true. You know, that's true. I understand that. And I am grateful that my kids aren't doing that. But I have to tell you, my kids and my niece and nephews are not ready for the real world, because literally what they have been raised in, and for my kids just in the last few years, is a church bubble. It's what you call a church bubble. And what they're told and what they're made to feel is that everything in the church bubble is safe, and this is all good people here, and nothing bad's going to happen to you, you know, and you can have coffee with us and hang out with us and come do all the things that we do. And outside the church bubble, it's scary. There are bad people. You know, you don't want to go outside the church bubble. You don't want to associate with those people. And so what ends up happening, in even in my circumstance, was, you know, you get cut off from your family. You get cut off from your friends. And this has not just been my experience. This recently happened to a very good friend of mine, and other people that I've talked with, that once this particular loved one is pulled into Six Flags Over Jesus Church, they don't do anything with them anymore. They don't go out with them. They don't see them anymore. They don't see their grandchildren anymore. They don't see their family members or their childhood friend. I mean, it is divisive. It is divisive. And it is another form of brainwashing. And it is another characteristic of a cult, because one of the characteristics is called exclusivity. And it's an us versus them. There's a persecution type complex. And so, you know, it's very weird. There's an inside and there's an outside of the group. And this is very much a part of the control that they have. Isolation is another aspect to the church bubble. You know, when you're just going from work to home to the church bubble, to the people in the church bubble, and then back home, and then to work, I mean, you're pretty isolated. So there's very minimal contact with people outside of who you meet there. And then there's another aspect called love bombing. You know, I feel like this really happened, especially for my kids coming from a very traumatic divorce. You know, they really needed a lot of love. They needed friends. They needed support. And again, a lot of very vulnerable people come into these cult situations really needing that. And so they get a lot of attention. They show this person a lot of love initially, and they get really sucked in at a very vulnerable time in their life. But, you know, it just seems like a predator mentality. You know, I really feel like it's just evil, because people are at a very low point in their life. They're very vulnerable. They're hurting, you know, and this is just not the time to, you know, to sort of indoctrinate them, you know, and to try to get them to join your church just because you want them to tithe every week or you want their paycheck. I mean, it's really wrong. It's just wrong. It's just evil. You don't do that to people. Now, some people are in the cult, and I got to say, Six Flags Over Jesus is a huge denomination over here. There's thousands of people that go here. People are looking for business connections there. If you want to be North Shore Best Of and you want a lot of emails to vote for you, Six Flags Over Jesus Church is the place for you. I have just found your tribe. But, you know, it's supposed to be a church. That's the thing. It's supposed to be a church. It's supposed to be a holy place. It's not really supposed to be about business connections. You can go to LSU for that. That's what you do when you're a business person and you want to make great business contacts. You go to a big university and you make good business contacts, and that's great, and that's okay. But again, we're just blurring the lines here about church, finances, and, you know, talking about finances, you know, there's this whole aspect of indoctrinating them into tithing the 10%. You know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the pastor at Six Flags Over Jesus Church, who has the fake Texas accent, you know, lives in a golf and country club community, you know, and he's tax exempt. So I don't know, when you give your hardworking money, your 10% that's taxed, you're funding a lifestyle. You really have to know that. So, you know, I'm a giver. I'm all about giving. I love that whole idea, and I love to practice it because I think it's a real good thing to do. But, you know, think about perhaps school supplies for any inner city children. There's kids that can't get a backpack or school supplies that started school this year, you know, or perhaps there's some other charity, you know, I love to contribute to an orphanage in Israel for young girls whose parents were actually killed in bombings that have happened in the Middle East. So, you know, that's something that I like to do. I mean, there's so many ways that we can give to our community without funding a golf and country club lifestyle. So you got to know that. So just three things off the bat. Fake Texas accent, being baptized in basically a toilet or a public swimming pool, and third, you're giving money to fund a golf and country club lifestyle. And we're going to take a break, and I'll be right back.
Oh, Nation's Radio is 24/7.
Offering you the best around-the-clock Christian music. All Nations Radio, going out to all the world.
7 days a week.
All Nations Radio, the station that gives you the best gospel music and ministry 24/7. We are All Nations Radio, going out to all the world.
365.
I found it. What station is this anyway?
The all-new All Nations Radio.
For those who are just joining us, we are having a great discussion here today, taken from my book, Fifi. Fifi is available on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble's. You can find it by just putting my name, Jody Parmley, in the search box. Fifi is a very raw and real read. So if you like raw and real, you're going to love this book. And again, if you like the book, we'd love for you to leave a great review and help us keep the amazing message of Fifi going. So we are back, and we're talking about cults, and we're talking about characteristics of cults, and there's a big one here in St. Tammany that I'm talking about with you today, because it is an entire chapter in my book, and I talk about it just a little bit all through the book, really, and the effect that it has. And one of the big effects that I am not sure people in St. Tammany know about is that we have an epidemic suicide rate. Now, I have to tell you, I've lived in New Orleans a long time, you know, in the 80s, we came across to the North Shore, you know, maybe to come eat at Trey Inn, which is this beautiful, you know, Chinese restaurant we have at the end of the bridge, you know, or maybe we had family or, you know, we knew somebody that lived over here. Not a whole lot of people were living on the North Shore at the time. And, you know, it was just very rural, very quiet community. And that was the 80s. And subdivisions were starting to be built, like Green Leaves, that kind of thing. Really, really nice community. And we came over here in the early 90s. Now, my brother-in-law didn't get over here with his family probably until the late 90s, just with a storefront church, you know. And really, it took about, you know, probably a good 10 years, you know, for the mega church to really come about. So he started small, just started laying groundwork really in the late 90s. But I have an article that I have saved from North Shore Report. And North Shore Report is one of the magazines that comes from City Business. This is the June and July issue from 2012, so a few years back. But it has some really good information in here. And the suicides in St. Tammany Parish in 2010, there were 484 attempted suicides and 39 deaths. In 2011, there were 543 attempted suicides, 33 deaths. And then again in 2012, which is when this article came out, there was already 127 attempted suicides by March 26 of that year. So we're talking, you know, a few months into the year, and already there was 127 attempted suicides and 10 deaths. So that is incredible. So the reason why I wanted to bring this up is that Six Flags Over Jesus Church is headed by people in leadership positions that, again, are not well-versed in mental health, do not have a psychiatric background. You know, they like to brag about their, you know, their degrees from Loyola and Tulane, but they're not, they have no background in psychiatry. And I literally had someone come up to me one time who, again, wasn't from me. This is from an outside person who knew, or, you know, from talking with me, that my family ran this church. And I have this in my book. A previous active member of Six Flags Over Jesus Church said he believed the epidemic suicide rate in our parish is a direct result of what is being preached. That message being, depression comes from missing God somewhere in your past. The only way to confront depression is to look back and find out where you missed God. And so, again, they're not advocates of antidepressant medication. I know there's some bad ones out there, but there's some good ones too. People who are depressed, it's a clinical condition, and it's something that perhaps needs medication, definitely needs a professional. They don't need to be told that they've missed God in their life, and that's why they're depressed. So the statistics I go ahead and talk about in my book. But again, I also mentioned that on any given week, there are 750 teens who attend Six Flags Over Jesus Wednesday Youth Night. 750 teens every week. Therefore, it's not hard to make that correlation of these kinds of numbers coming in just on a Wednesday night. This is not even talking about the weekend church services. It's not a hard correlation to make when we think of Six Flags Over Jesus Church's influence on the community. So I really wanted to mention that, because I don't think, we're kind of in la-la land over here in St. Tammany. You know, we want everything to be good and everything's fine, and, you know, we want it all to be safe. And, you know, there's some really bad things happening that a lot of people don't know about. And this particular article is, again, something that I really wanted to read a little bit to you. Lynette Savoy is quoted in here. She is the administrative coordinator of St. Tammany Outreach for the Prevention of Suicide. She says, I always get calls from people simply asking, can someone just come talk to us? And I have to tell you, I have a story from my attorney about my brother-in-law. All of the stories I mention, you know, in the book, and especially the financial aspects, and the one that I'm about to tell you right now is taken from my attorney. So it's not just hearsay and speculation. But there was a gentleman that apparently my attorney knew or was familiar with who, you know, very wealthy individual in the community, was going through a very difficult time in his life, personal crisis. I mean, literally his life was falling apart, you know. I don't really remember the details, and I'm not really going to share the details even if I knew them, but this man's life was literally falling apart. And my attorney knew about this, and he knew that my brother-in-law would go over to this man's house every week to tell him not how to save his family or how to get through this really horrible, horrible time emotionally, you know, with his family. No, no, no. It was about how to save his business while he was going through this personal crisis. You know, I mean, my God, how cold is that? I don't even know. This is all he had to offer him, was to just go over there every week. Oh, he gave him his time. He gave him his time and attention. But it was all about how to save his business while he was going through this personal crisis. So, you know, my brother-in-law will come talk to you. He'll come talk to you, but it's going to be how to save your business while you're going through this really difficult time. You know, I mean, that is just shocking. And so, again, I talk about a situation that also happened with Six Flags Over Jesus Church. And I mention it in the book as well. But apparently, you know, this particular church raised or was able to accumulate $10 million in less than 3 years. Now, the circumstances are very dubious because what ended up happening, and again, this is straight from my attorney, so it's not speculation or hearsay, but one of the associates pastors at Six Flags Over Jesus literally handed over his wife's recent multi-million-dollar inheritance without her permission. So here is a couple at Six Flags Over Jesus Church, and this individual is an associate pastor, and his wife, you know, had this death in her family, and her inheritance was a multi-million-dollar inheritance, and he just took that money and just handed it right over to Six Flags Over Jesus Church because literally they were in the midst of building a mega church and they were struggling for funds. I mean, this thing was not going to go up quickly. And so Six Flags Over Jesus Church, of course, had no intention of giving back this money to this woman, even though she did not give permission for them to have it. So there's really no surprises there. But for that reason, there is a huge lawsuit right now against Six Flags Over Jesus Church, which has been filed. And again, you know, this is another case of financial infidelity, which I talk about in my book. I will say that by and large, women in this particular church are not respected. That is very much a part of one of the cult characteristics, which is gender roles. There is a very, very controlling definitions and roles for genders. And for women especially, they really are not given the support, the independence to speak out, to take leadership. No, that doesn't happen at all. For this individual just to take his wife's money as if it was his own, you know, is just beyond my comprehension. But it is something that, again, I'm not very surprised about happening in this particular church. So we're going to have to wrap it up for today. It went by awfully fast. I'm going to have a guest here in October, someone who's come from a cult situation. She's a beautiful, bright girl. She's actually helping me write a screenplay for Fifi. So I'm going to have her here in October, and I'm going to have her talk about what this was like for her. So I hope today's information was helpful to you. Keep listening to us and join us next week as we talk more about topics taken from my book, Fifi. Thank you for tuning into The Jodi Parmley Show. Make sure you visit our website at jodiparmley.com or email us at jodiparmley@yahoo.com. And also, you can reach out to us on Facebook at Fifi the Book and on Twitter at Jodi Parmley. You've been listening to The Jodi Parmley Show on Stellar Award-nominated All Nations Radio. Know that you are safe, you are strong, and you can do this. Until next time, sunshine.